The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other hosts or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
Welcome to Words of Change with Mark Patrick, licensed professional counselor.
Welcome to Words of Change. This is Mark Patrick, and on this show, I like to explore words and ideas that can help us make positive and healthy changes in our life. And today, I'm going to be making a connection between Walt Whitman and Facebook, which you're going to want to stick around for, because it's not at all apparent what connection there would be between the two. But I want to start by preface this by saying that today I am going to be talking about something pretty serious, which is suicide. And I know that this is not an easy topic for some people to think about or hear about. And I just want to say right off the bat that if this is something that is difficult for you to hear, or if you have any reservations or have any thoughts of harming yourself or taking your own life, or just get upset even thinking about it, you can certainly at any time, 24/7, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. You can also text on the crisis text line. 741-741 is that number, which is just going up the left side of the keypad twice, 741-741. But I want to begin with the death of a young woman. Her name was Madison Holleran, and she was a student at the University of Pennsylvania who was featured in an article in the New York Times. And the article caught my attention because this was someone who was very popular, very well liked, had a lot of things going for her. And her death, when she took her own life, caused quite a ripple effect in the community. And I want to read two brief quotes from the New York Times article. The article talks about the fact that a lot of people will compare themselves with one another. It's called social comparison theory, which posits that we try to determine our own worth based on how we stack up against others. And the quote from the article is, "In the era of social media, such comparisons take place on a screen with carefully curated depictions that do not provide the full picture. Mobile devices escalate the comparisons from occasional to nearly constant." And then it goes on to say, "Madison Holleran's suicide provided what might be the ultimate contrast between a shiny Instagram feed and interior darkness. Ms. Holleran posted images that show her smiling, dappled in sunshine, or kicking back at a party. But according to her older sister, Ashley, Madison judged her social life as inferior to what she saw in the online posts of her high school friends." So for me, this is a very emotional subject, because here we have someone who was young, talented, popular, all those things, had so many things going for them. And yet, they are not with us anymore. She is not with us anymore. And that seemed to have come about because of feelings of, I'm sure, depression and also inferiority. The article talks a lot about perfectionism in colleges. And people judging themselves, comparing themselves to other people and finding themselves lacking. And in this particular case, it led to the ultimate loss. So I find this compelling, first of all, because social media is so powerful now. It is brand new to humanity, and it is such a powerful force, particularly in the lives of young people. When this death happened, it sent the community reeling, and there were others, unfortunately, around the same time. And this happens at other universities as well. And so, faced with such a loss as this, it pushes me to kind of reach back and try to find what kind of inner resources can we bring to kind of counter this? And I'm going to read from Walt Whitman, because hundreds of years, well, 150 years before Facebook was invented, he already had an answer for it. And so this is a section from Song of Myself, which is kind of his monumental poem. And in this section, he is describing, I think of it as it's a catalog of things that have an impact on him that I think other people would ask him about. And he writes this: "Trippers and askers surround me, people I meet. The effect upon me of my early life, of the ward and city I live in, of the nation, the latest news, discoveries, inventions, societies, authors old and new, my dinner, dress, associates, looks, business, compliments, dues, the real or fancied indifference of some man or woman I love, the sickness of one of my folks or of myself, or ill-doing, or loss or lack of money, or depressions or exaltations. They come to me days and nights and go from me again, but they are not the me myself." And then he goes on to say, "Apart from the pulling and hauling, stands what I am. Stands amused, complacent, compassionating, idle, unitary, looks down, is erect, bends an arm on an impalpable certain rest, looks with its side-curved head, curious what will come next, both in and out of the game, and watching and wondering at it." So in the first section, this is kind of a catalog of all these different things that have an impact on him. People he knows, whether he is well or sick, where he grew up, his early life, where he lives now, his neighborhood, all these different things. And he looks at all of that and he says, "They come to me days and nights and go from me again, but they are not the me myself. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts." So he takes a step back and he looks at all the different facets of his life and he says, "That's not me." And in fact, the me myself, me, is capitalized. So he puts against it, no, there's this other me. The details of what I am, they're not the same thing. But then he goes on to say, "Apart from all of that, I stand to one side." He uses this word compassionating, which I don't even think is a word. But the idea is to be compassionate as a verb. And he looks at himself. He turns his head. He's kind of, you know how people cock their head when they're curious? He's just kind of looking at himself. And to me, the key phrase there is, both in and out of the game, and watching and wondering at it. So he's describing a situation where he lives his life. He writes, he has friends, He goes about his daily business, but he gives himself the opportunity to take a step back and say, that's interesting. I wonder what's going to happen next. To be both in and out of the game. To be both engaged in his life and yet being able to step back and take a step back and look at it from an angle. To be separate from it. He allows himself to separate, to have some distance, and to be amused and to be separate, both in and out of the game. This is a balancing act. He's basically saying one way to be a person is not just to be one person, but almost to be two people. To give yourself the distance to be able to take a step back and to pull back from the details of your life. Years ago, there was a book, Sophia's World, which was an introduction to philosophy. And it begins by saying that basically one way to think about philosophers is that we are all basically living on a rabbit. It's like we're little fleas on a rabbit. And in our daily lives, we tend to burrow down more into the rabbit's fur. Whereas the philosopher wants to take a step back and see the whole rabbit, because we usually can't see it from where we are. And so this is something that we may not really bring to our attention very often, but it is the case that we have a choice. We can dig into the details of our life. We can go about our daily lives without really questioning it very much. Or we can decide to take a step back to the side to reflect on ourselves and say, wait a minute, is this really what I want to be doing? Is this really what I wanted to do? What am I going to do next? Can I get some distance on it? Maybe even have a sense of humor about myself so that it's okay if I make a mistake. So that it's okay if things do not turn out the way I expect them to. So Whitman reminds us that we have the choice, we have the option of giving ourselves some distance and some perspective. And so we're going to go to a break here. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about ways in which we can kind of take this idea and apply it in our own daily lives. So I'll be right back. This is Mark Patrick of Words of Change. You're listening to KWRHLP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri. Welcome back. I'm Mark Patrick, and this is Words of Change, where we explore ideas and words that can bring healing and positive and healthy changes in your life. And before the break, I had read a section from Walt Whitman's Song of Myself, where he talked about being something larger than just who he is on a daily basis. And I joked at the beginning of the program that in some ways, Whitman kind of anticipated Facebook, because social media, what it does is encourages all of us to share in real time the everyday, quotidian, minute-to-minute experiences that we have. And I also began the program pointing out that, sadly, this can lead to comparisons, which in the most extreme examples has led to people actually dying because they felt that they could not measure up to what they were seeing other people's lives on social media. And so when I think about Whitten and I think about him reflecting on himself and stepping back from himself and talking about my days and my nights are not the me myself, what kind of healing, what kind of positive change can this bring about for us? How can this point us in the direction of positive change? And that leads me to think about a few different things. First of all, I will say that, you know, social media is very much a mixed blessing, as this example illustrates. So there are times at which it can be incredible to share something amazing with our friends and family pretty much simultaneously. I would challenge you to ask yourself the last time you looked on your social media feeds, how many of those incredible, life-changing, amazing moments people actually shared and how much of it was a lot more trivial. If we are looking at other people's social media and our reaction is to say, they're having a better time than I am, that person is obviously superior to me, I am not any good, I am not going to be able to live up to them, then this is not a healthy thing. The social media world is something that is brand new to humanity in terms of its spontaneity, not in terms of us wanting to be social creatures. We are social creatures. But in terms of this force of just incredible amounts of information that we're being flooded with 24/7 now, including from our own friends. So that's number one, is that acknowledge that social media is a double-edged sword at best, and that it is okay to not use it all the time. And I say this particularly as well to, especially to adolescents. It is okay to not be on social media. And if it is unhealthy, you can stop and take a break. So that's number one. Number two has to do with this notion that Whitman talks about of him being both in and out of the game, of him observing himself, of him taking a step back and kind of cocking his head and looking sidelong, and even being amused at himself. Because no matter where you are, and no matter what you are doing, you can always close your eyes and imagine a situation in which things are different. There's a kind of therapy called dialectical behavioral therapy, which is a mouthful, which is why we call it DBT for short. And one of the skills that you learn in DBT is called coping ahead, which is to say, if we think we are going into a situation that maybe is going to be difficult for us and we're not sure if we're going to be able to regulate our emotions, then if we know that's going to happen in the future, then we can cope ahead. We can anticipate it. There's always a future, which means we can always be in the present and say, what am I going to do different in the future? We may not be happy with our present right now, but we can always anticipate, here's how things could be different. Here's what I would like. Now, of course, if we close our eyes and daydream, we can come up with a million things that we would like to have happen, and they may or may not be realistic. However, in order to have a healthier future, we have to begin with right now and being able at least to envision what a healthier future for us looks like. And we always have that capacity at any time, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are. One of Walt Whitman's contemporaries, Emily Dickinson, wrote a beautiful poem that began with the phrase, "I dwell in possibility." It is not always easy to make what is possible a reality, but we have to begin by even envisioning possibilities. How could things be different? How could my life be different? How can I make changes? And Emily Dickinson's poem, "I Dwell in Possibility," is beautiful because she talks about how she just lives there. She just thinks about possibilities and just stays with it. It's a lengthy metaphor where she talks about it being like a house. And it doesn't quite translate on the radio, but I would encourage you to look it up. So the notion of being able to dwell in possibility, to just say, what could be? How could things be different? You don't have to worry to begin with on how you're going to get there. But just to start by saying, things do not have to stay this way. We are creatures of habit. That is who we are as a species. And habits can serve us very well. But there are times when the habits that we have do not match with the reality that we're dealing with. And then we have to make changes and come up with new habits. And that's painful. And that's not easy to do. But it can begin with us dwelling in possibility. What is it that I want to have happen? What could change? What could potentially be different moving forward? So allowing yourself to take a step back, to regard yourself, to get some distance on yourself. Maybe you have someone that you trust that can help you lighten up a little bit. That can always be very helpful. But that notion of dwelling in possibility, of reaching out for something different, of challenging your current state, of challenging your current habits, of challenging just because things are this way right now does not mean that it has to stay this way. Shakespeare wrote, "What's past is prologue. The now is the eternal now. There is always this present moment where you can do something different. It does not go anywhere. It is always right here, right now." And so part of what Whitman is alluding to is the notion of being aware of and alive to that present moment, that things can potentially be different. And then finally, when I read Whitman and this passage, he, as I joked before about the word, he used the word compassionating. When he is both in and out of the game and he is regarding himself, he is being compassionate towards himself. He's a little bit amused, and he's curious. He's a little detached, and that's okay because he's not dumping on himself, and he's not angry with himself. He's just saying, I wonder what's going to happen. Oh, I wonder how he's going to get out of this jam. And so if we can develop habits to be compassionate towards ourselves, to validate ourselves, to not judge ourselves, to not shame or blame ourselves, but to just notice, okay, well, this is what's happening. I wonder how we're going to get to the next step. I wonder where we're going to go from here, without beating up on yourself, without judging yourself. It's a mindfulness practice, and it takes practice. But Whitman, all these many decades ago, pointed this out, that this is a way that we can relate to ourselves. This is a way that we can be compassionate and non-judgmental to ourselves and be greater than the sum of what has happened to us up until this point. I began the show talking about the death of a young woman, Madison Halloran. Suicide is a very sad thing. The loss of life is a very sad thing. And it serves as a poignant, painful reminder, but a good one, that if we are more compassionate to ourselves, if we do not judge ourselves by other people's standards or by the image that other people present, then we can take better care of ourselves and have a safer and a more fulfilling and a more meaningful life. So that is our show for today. Thank you so much for listening. Be well, stay safe, love yourself. I will talk to you next week. Our theme music was composed by Eric Hall. You can find more of his music at www.erichall.com. For more information on counseling, or to schedule a free 50-minute consultation, please visit markpatrickcounseling.com or call 314-325-1691. Until next time, I'm Mark Patrick.